The scripture reading tonight is taken from Psalm 38, the psalm that we just sang, a versification. 2, Psalm 38. This in the book of Psalms is the third penitent psalm of David. The third psalm that he brings to remembrance his sin and calls upon God to forgive him. Psalm 38, O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. For thy arrows stick fast in me, and my hand presses me sore. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thy anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities are gone over my head as an heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. For my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and sore broken. I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. Lord, all my desire is before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. My heart panteth, my strength faileth me. As for the light of my eyes, it is gone from me. My lovers and my friends stand aloof from my sore, and my kinsmen stand afar off. They also that seek after my life lay snares for me, and they that seek my hurt speak mischievous things and imagine deceits all the day long. But I, as a deaf man, heard not, and I was as a dumb man that opened not his mouth. Thus I was as a man that heareth not, and in whose mouth there are no reproofs. For in thee, O Lord, do I hope. Thou wilt hear, O Lord, my God. For I said, hear me, lest otherwise they should rejoice over me. When my foot slippeth, they magnify themselves against me. For I am ready to halt, and my sorrow is continually before me. For I will declare my iniquity. I will be sorry for my sin. But my enemies are lively, and they are strong, and they that hate me wrongfully are multiplied. They also that render evil for good are my adversaries, because I follow the thing that good is. Forsake me not, O Lord. O my God, be not far from me. Make haste to help me. O Lord, my salvation. So those last four words are the words, Jesus, Lord, my salvation. That's the name Jesus. We've come to that in the Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 11, the name of Jesus. Let's read a few verses yet in the Bible. Some familiar ones, Matthew 1, verse 21. These words of Gabriel to Joseph, and she, that is Mary, shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And then another familiar verse, Acts chapter 4, verse 12, the words of Peter and John before the Jewish council, who have commanded them not to speak in the name. And the Jewish council would not utter the name Jesus, so they just refer, don't talk in that name. And Peter responds, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name, that's the name Jesus, There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." And then an Old Testament passage in the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 45, Isaiah 45 verse 21, "Tell ye and bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God beside me, a just God and Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none beside me." Now let's turn to our catechism, Lord's Day 11, page 8. We're going through the Apostles' Creed. You remember it's been over a month now. And so the Heidelberg Catechism gave two Lord's Days to the first article, our faith in God the Father. And now we begin our faith in God the Son, the second article of the Apostles' Creed. We believe in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord. Lord's Day 11 will deal just with the name Jesus. Question 29, why is the Son of God called Jesus, that is, a Savior? Because He saves us and delivers us from our sins. And likewise, because we ought not to seek, neither can find, salvation in any other. Do such then believe in Jesus, the only Savior, who seek their salvation and welfare of saints, of themselves, or anywhere else? They do not. For though they boast of Him in words, yet in deeds they deny Jesus, the only Deliverer and Savior. For one of these two things must be true. Either that Jesus is not a complete Savior, or that they who by a true faith receive this Savior must find all things in Him necessary to their salvation. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, there are many people in this world who do not know what the name Jesus means. Do you? Do you know what the name Jesus means? In our society, the name Jesus is most often a swear word. That blessed name, that name which is above all names, that name before which all men will bow their knee one day, that name is thought to be something you say when you're angry, or when you're emphatic, or when you're excited. Do you use the name Jesus that way? No one talks that way about Muhammad. No one talks that way about Allah. No one talks that way about Charles Darwin or Buddha. Their names are not swear words, but that name alone in whom is salvation, that name alone which can soothe a soul, that name Jesus, men take on their lips for cursing. Why? Why? The church world is hardly better. The church has forgotten what the name Jesus means. Something to do with salvation from injustice, from poverty, from a wheelchair, from singleness, from a crummy job. Or they say, no, it's more than that. He means that He wants to save, but He can't do that. unless man lets him save. Or he begins salvation, but it's up to you to finish it with works of your own merit. Does anybody in the world today know what the name Jesus means? We ask that question in the world that God made for Jesus and made by Jesus and which belongs to Jesus. Do you know what that name above all names, means? We say tonight, by grace, yes. Yes, I know. I know what it means because I know Him personally as my Savior. It means Savior. Jesus is my Savior. He's my Savior from my sin. From my depraved nature that I struggle against every day. Against the evil rebellion that I struggle against the Holy God. He's my Savior. He's my only Savior. He's my complete Savior. We say, my Jesus, I love Thee. I know Thou art mine. For Thee, all the folly of sin I resign. Jesus saves me from my sin, from the punishment that my sin before a holy God deserved in eternity in hell. Jesus saved me from hell. Jesus saves me from the power of sin, so that now by His grace and Spirit I repent and I weep tears of sin, and my sin becomes over my sin, and my sin becomes a burden, and He gives me to turn from my sin. Jesus saves me from the presence of sin. Imagine that. He's going to take me out of this world of sin, away from the presence of sin, and He's going to take me to Canaan, to heaven, where I will not have one sin anymore. He's my Savior. Is Jesus your Savior? Do you love Him? Do you live your life only in obedience to Him? What is it many people would come to Jesus in His earthly ministry for things? What is it that we come to Him for tonight? What do you want? What do I want from Jesus? In Luke chapter 12, verse 13, we read, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. They came to Jesus to fix earthly things. Is that what we want Jesus for? Make my child better. Change my life because I can't handle it. Bring me better pay. Now the grace of Jesus applies to all of those things, of course. But if we think that Jesus is deliverance simply from trouble and sickness and burdens of this life, then we have asked way too little of Him. For our greatest need is our sin. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's why He came. And every child of God says, that's right. And I'm the chief. Jesus is my Savior. We look into that tonight, the Holy Gospel in the name Jesus. We'll look at His blessed name, that He is a precious Savior, and that He must be our only trust. The name Jesus means Jehovah salvation. That's what it means. Jesus, the name Jesus, a common name among the Jews, was the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew Joshua. You remember that Joshua was first named Hosea, which means salvation. But Moses changed Joshua's name to Joshua, which means Jehovah salvation. That Jesus means Jehovah's salvation does not mean that Jesus, God, saves. It means that He is God who saves. His name means, now you can know this, children, and you can remember this, and mom and dad, when you put your children to bed tonight that are with us in the service tonight, you put them in bed, and you can go over this. So Jesus, J-E-S-U-S, J-E, refers to Jehovah. He is the I am that I am. And S-U-S refers to salvation. He is Jehovah's salvation. And the verse that you can remember, Matthew 1, verse 21, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And Acts 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other. There's no salvation in Muhammad. There's no salvation in Krishna. There's no salvation in presidents. There's no salvation in an education. None of these things can save you. There's no salvation in investments. There's no salvation in Wall Street. There's no salvation in medicine. There is no salvation in any other name than that one name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved, Jesus. Jesus is a Savior, is our Savior from sin. No one else can save from sin. No one else can remove so much as the littlest sin than Jesus. Jesus is not a Savior from poverty. In fact, if you confess the name of Jesus, you might experience poverty. You might have to give all things up for His name. Jesus is not a Savior from sickness and from pain. Jesus is not a Savior from low self-esteem. He's not the answer to the third world country's problem with hunger. And again, the grace of Jesus applies to all of those burdens in this present life. But He did not come for those things. He came to save us from sin. To deliver us. To deliver us from what about sin? The consequences of sin. And what are the consequences of our sin? The consequence of your sin and of my sin is that before the Holy God, we deserve an eternity in hell. Hellfire. The flames that never cease. The burning of God's eternal judgment upon sin. The God who is and who is holy. When He damns a soul in eternal destruction and in that place of darkness. And all the words that I've used about hell are the words that Jesus used in His earthly ministry. Jesus came to save us from hell, which is what you deserve, and I, for my sin. He saved us with His sinless life. Jesus was sinless. And therefore He could represent us before the Holy God. He saved us, children, by going to the cross. And as the Son of God, taking all the wrath of eternity, the eternity of our hell upon Himself, so that He could atone for those sins. And while He was upon the cross, in His perfect obedience to the Father, He wove for us a beautiful garment of righteousness, so that we wear that righteousness in Christ. And God looks at us and says, I see no sin. I see that you are righteous in Him. And then Jesus arose from the dead on the third day, according to the gospel. And He opens our hearts by His Spirit, and He plants within our hearts the new life of Jesus into all the elect children of God. And then Jesus ascended up into heaven, and he sits at the right hand of God. And all power and authority are given to Jesus, and we need him. We need him to do all of that. He rules the whole universe. And only as the ruler of the whole universe can he be the Savior, because we are still sinful, and we are still in a sinful world, and we are evil, and we would never make it out of this world as a saved child of God. But God placed all things under his feet so that everything serves our salvation, and he is able to save us even unto the uttermost. And Jesus is coming again without sin, and he's coming to take us to glory. He's our Savior from sin. But now, children, that's only half the story. He saves us from sin, but he saves us to God. Salvation is not only to be delivered from something. Salvation is to be brought to something. To be saved is to be brought not to a good, but to be saved is to be brought to the highest of all goods. And the highest of all good is God. The highest of all good is the love of God, the covenant of God, the embrace of God, to have fellowship with the covenant God. Jesus, therefore, is the Savior who takes us away from the depth of our sin and brings us into the bosom of the eternal God. Jesus is the one who takes from us the chains of our sin, which would abound us in hell. And he brings us into the service of the living God. Jesus is the one who takes us out of the claws of sin and brings us into the arms of God. The psalmist puts it this way, Psalm 40, out of the miry clay, and he sets my feet upon a rock, and he makes my way steadfast. And all of this is of God. All of this is of the wonderful power and grace of God. None of it is anything that we have added. None of it is anything that we have contributed. But it is all entirely in Jesus. So Jesus saves us from sin. He saves us to God. And all of this is so because God put us in Jesus. I want you to think about that. I want you to pay attention. Young people, children, when you read your Bible, I want you to pay attention to that word, I-N, in Jesus, especially in the New Testament. That's such a beautiful thing. That means from all eternity, before you were existed, God put you right into Jesus. He placed you into Jesus. Before I was born, I was in Jesus. Before the heavens were made, I was in Jesus. When Jesus was at the cross, I was in Jesus and represented by Jesus. When Jesus arose from the dead, I was in Jesus. And I am in Jesus. And you are in Jesus by God's grace right now, so that we can say, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. And in death, we will be in Jesus, and we'll have the hope of eternal life. The name Jesus means he is God, the Savior, who delivers us from sin to God because we're in him. That blessed name of Jesus is vital. It's vital because there's times when, as children of God with David in Psalm 38, that we are plagued with a heavy sense of the guilt of our sins. When we have committed, and I don't mean to make one sin greater than another, nevertheless, in our own experiences, when we have committed a grievous sin, we look back and we say, how foolish, how foolish, how could I? And we know how we could. Because of pride. Because of our pride. And we look now at our wickedness. And our wickedness has ruined things. And has brought reproach upon the name of our Savior and upon His church. And the awfulness of my sin is upon me day and night. Others know. It can never be the same. Life is ruined. It's so horrible. It's so terrible. Then by grace, the child of God must say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus saves me from my awful guilt, from my terrible iniquity. And of grace He imputes to me, an unworthy sinner, the perfect righteousness of Christ, so that I have no sin before God. And you fall at His feet and you say, Lord, what will You have me to do? Or we need that name Jesus when we struggle with those besetting sins. Those sins that we thought we could handle. We thought that we could use them for our pleasures and then put them away. But we discovered that what appeared to us to be a spider's web that we could, like Samson, remember children? The fourth time when Delilah cut off his hair, Samson thought, I'll get up and I'll walk out just like the other times. And he knew not that God had departed from him. So it is with our sins. We can put that off. When I get older, I won't do that anymore. It will be like little spider webs. I'll just push them aside. And we discover that that's not so. That those sins are iron bars. And we feel the power of that sin and of that lust within us. And God gives it to us to see it. And we become sick. We become sick of the lusts that we entertained into our hearts. Then we must say the name Jesus. For He shall save me from the power of sin. He'll save me so that I hate it. I fight it. I confess it. I don't seek my pleasures in it anymore. We need the name of Jesus at times when we look at ourselves and we're afraid that we aren't going to endure. We believe the temptation that is before us is too great, the burden is too heavy, the hardship is too long, the evil is too much. I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to endure. I can't go through this. I can't make it. And we must remember that blessed name of Jesus. The Jesus who cannot deny Himself. He will not deny Himself. He will be faithful to you. And then we need to say that name of Jesus when we come to death. Do you think about death? You should. You should. And I'm a sinner. And death makes me ask the question, will God really save me? Will He really take me? And then you must say the name Jesus. You must say it in faith. Jesus, my Savior, I belong to Him. He's my complete Savior. And then when death comes, you might be in a hospital. You might be home. You might be all alone. no one around you. It may be very sudden. It may be very prolonged through cancer. Do you know this blessed name of Jesus? Jesus will save me. He's our precious Savior. Now you can almost say that all of the theology of the Reformed faith, all the teaching of the Bible, and all of our faith, the entire Christian faith, comes down to the name Jesus. When you have, after a lifelong search, the depths of the Scriptures, when you've gazed into the wonders of the faith, when you've gone through a whole life of experiences, living by faith, when that's all said and done, when you've read all of the good theology books and all the good articles, you can say that it all comes down to just one name, Jesus. That's it. That's all of it. Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all the rest. Just give me Jesus. It's that simple, and yet it's that profound. Because it, if I may put it this way, because it takes God 66 books in the Bible, 66 books, to explain one name, Jesus. In that one name is the wonder of God's glory, the glory of God, in that one name, the glory of His grace. Acts chapter 7, verse 55, when Stephen is being stoned by the Jews, and being full of the Holy Spirit, he looks up, Acts 7:55, but he looking up steadfastly to heaven, listen, saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Did he see two things or one? He saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. He did not see two things. He saw one thing. He saw Jesus at the right hand of God as the glory of God. All of God's glory, His beauty and His magnificence is in Jesus Christ. The whole Bible is the revelation of Jesus. That's why we come to church. That's why we come to church twice a Sunday. That's why we read our Bibles. That's why God puts you through trials. That's why God brings you not prosperity, but often poverty and troubles and difficulties. That's why things don't always go very easy in your life. That's why God leads you to the door of death. He wants to teach you about the name of Jesus, the precious name of Jesus. He wants you to know what is in that name and His power. That's why we have preaching. That's because we have preaching, because we must know Jesus. We must hear Jesus in the preaching. We must have Jesus tell us who God is. We must hear from Jesus who we are, and what man is, and what life is, and what our problem is, and what the end of everything and the purpose of all things is. And then when we go to heaven, we join the church triumphant to all eternity. We will try to understand more and more of Jesus. For He shall save His people from their sins. Let's look at that verse, Matthew 1, verse 21, when the angel Gabriel told Joseph, who at that time believed that Mary, his betrothed wife, had been unfaithful to him. What else could he believe? And the angel Gabriel told him, no, that's not the case. She is not unfaithful to you. Verse 20 of Matthew 1, that which is in her, that conceived life, that human life, is conceived in her by the Holy Spirit. And then Gabriel goes on and says, and this is what you have to name him. Remember that in Bible times, the naming of the Son went to the Father. That was the Father's prerogative. Remember with Zacharias? He couldn't talk, so Elizabeth said, our baby is John. They said to her, no, let's go to Zacharias and find out the name. And Zacharias said, his name is John. Joseph, you call this child of Mary Jesus, conceived by the Spirit, not by you, conceived by the Spirit. He shall save his people from their sins. So here we go. Number one, he shall. That's a promise. So we're dealing here with the promise of God. We're dealing here with something that God says he's going to do. And whenever we deal with the promise of God, whenever God says, this is what I shall do, this is my promise, then there's only one response to that promise. Believe. Believe. When God speaks a promise, his promises are to be embraced and believed. He shall. He shall. You must not question this. He shall. He shall save you from your sins. So it's a promise. Number two, it is a particular promise. Particular. He shall save his people from their sins. He does not come, said God, said Gabriel, to save all men head for head. He does not come to offer salvation to all men head for head. He does not come to attempt the salvation of all men, but he will save his people. And that's exactly what Jesus did. And that's exactly what Jesus will do. And that's exactly what he has always done. Take that to heart. He has saved his people from their sins. His people are the very same ones of whom he spoke. All that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Three, he shall save his people from their sins. Save. That's powerful. So now we have a powerful, particular promise. He will save. No one will stop him. There's power here to save. No one will be in his way. No power shall be greater than his power. He will save the weakest child of God. He will save the most fearful child of God. He will save the child of God that has won from him the furthest and the farthest. He will save them by his mighty power. Number four, he will do this. That's personal. We have a personal, powerful, particular promise. Personal. He will do this. Now, if you're following the outline, now we're jumping back up to 2A2. Monergistic, not synergistic. He will do it. Monergistic, that's a good word. Monergistic means one energy, one worker. Salvation is monergistic, one worker. Not synergistic, many workers. Salvation is not many workers, it's one worker. All of salvation is by Jesus. Jesus does not say, I want to do this, but I can't do this unless you cooperate and you open the door of your heart to let me in. Otherwise, I'm going to be frustrated about this. I want to save you, but I can't do that. That's not what the angel said. He shall save his people from their sins. He will do it because he is Jesus. He is God. Jesus does not say, I will do this with a legion of angels. I will do this with my mother Mary, the Virgin. I will do this plus a lot of dead people throughout the Middle Ages who are now saints and have extra merits, Saint Christopher and Saint Patrick. He does not say, I will do this and the holy water of baptism. He does not say, I will do this and your good stock. You come from good stock. He doesn't say that. He says, just me. Just me. I'll do it all. I'm the only one. We sing a beautiful Psalter number. I trust it goes through you when you sing this Psalter number. From out the people, one I take. A mighty leader, true and brave, ordained, exalted, strong to save. Personal, powerful, particular promise. Purifying. He shall save from sin. From the whole stinking mess. Now on this I emphasize that it does not say he shall save in sin, but from sin. He shall save his people not in their sins, but from their sins. It's blasphemy for us to think, I'm a Christian, I go to church, I'm Reformed, I can sin. I can party. My sins aren't important. They don't count. Because I'm Orthodox, they don't count. I believe in grace, sovereign grace. I'm Orthodox. And so my life doesn't count. That is the gospel of demons. It is no gospel. He saves us from our sins. That means that he sanctifies you. He gives you a heart of repentance to turn from your sin and to work within you that you be pleasing to God. That's our Savior. Purifying, personal, powerful, particular promise to be our Savior. To save 10,000 times 10,000s. To save us completely. And this is the confidence that we have when we go in our evangelism and when we go in our witnessing and when we go in the preaching of the gospel in India or wherever God sends us. We bring this good news. We bring this only good news. We bring the name of Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins. Our calling is to be faithful, to bring this gospel in its truth. Be faithful, and Jesus will save. We conclude tonight with that therefore Jesus must be our only trust. The Catechism puts it this way. It's either or here. It's not both and. It's either or. Either Jesus is not a complete Savior, and then we put our trust in a lot of other things with Him, or if He is a complete Savior, we must look to Him alone. Now tonight we are not in so much of the danger of trusting in saints and in relics and in the Virgin Mary Nor are we right now in the danger of free will. We reject the proud doctrine of free will. We believe salvation through grace alone. But that does not mean that the argument of the Heidelberg Catechism is not intended for us. Do you trust yourself for your salvation? Do you say tonight, but I didn't mess up. That person messed up. But I didn't mess up my life. At least, not lately. Do you say, but my yard is clean. I'm feeling pretty good about myself. I think I'm good enough for God. If that's what we think, then we are not trusting Jesus. It's either Jesus alone, or it's not at all. If we look for additions to Jesus, we are not trusting Jesus alone. Either Jesus is a complete Savior and we put all of our trust in Him alone, or He is no Savior at all. We must not look to ourselves. Constantly we put away ourselves. We trust in Jesus. Where will you look? Where will you look when the Holy Spirit brings to you your sin? This is why we read Psalm 38. In Psalm 38, David has nothing. He has nothing but the stink of his own sins. Where will he look? Lord, my Savior, to Jesus. To Jesus only. And so tonight, you put your little boy and girl to bed, and you talk to them about the name of Jesus. You teach them the name of Jesus, and they put their head down, and they go to sleep. And so do we. Will you go to sleep tonight in peace? You must know this name, Jehovah, salvation, Jesus. He's my Savior. He's my only Savior. He's the true Savior. He saves me from all my sins. I will lay me down in peace and sleep. For Jesus is my Savior. May this blessing belong to you. Amen.